It is almost 12:29. Any minute now, the big reveal. The crowd is big, ready to go.
What was that clip? That was a sizable gathering of people in Dallas, Texas, a couple days ago. Easily 1,000+. They were lining the road where JFK was assassinated in 1963. But wait, he died on November 22nd. Why were all those people there on November 2? Well, purportedly, they were assembled to hear an announcement from JFK Jr. Wait, isn't he dead too? Yes, he is, since July 1999.
What the fuck?
That's right. What the fuck indeed.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry, get into bed now.
According to various media sources, few of which are reputable and most of which are seldom accurate, that gathering in Dallas was for fans of QAnon, which you may recall was getting a lot of attention leading up to and just after the last American election. QAnon was posting cryptic videos online and generating so much controversy that eventually I had to have a look for myself. I viewed a portion of one video. For several minutes, it held a still photograph of Trump in the Oval Office. It zoomed in on, I think, was it a watch? Maybe it was a desk clock. And the voiceover explained how the clock was showing 3:17 p.m. or sometime, which was secret code for the time the arrests of deep state swamp dwellers would commence. If only. That was more than enough for me. It was mind-numbing that many were buying into such clearly crazy shit. But then, it really wasn't shocking because of what's at the center of most, if not all, cults. The willing suspension of disbelief. To override one's own senses and logic in service to some hope or quest. There are indubitably more cults now than at any time in history because now most of them are digital. Pre-internet, it took effort and capital investment to establish a cult. You needed a structure, right? Some place to meet, some creed to proselytize, and a code to live by. Might be as big as a world religion or as small as Charles Manson. What defines a cult? Well, Merriam-Webster has three definitions, but only one is really accurate. One states that it must be religious. Well, that's not true. Another calls it, quote, a small group of very devoted followers or fans. And that also misses the mark. Might be small, might be huge, but being an admirer of someone or something is a long way off from a cult. The best definition calls it, quote, a situation in which people admire and care about something or someone very much or too much. Yeah, that sounds about right. But maybe not, because almost everyone is in a cult of one type or another. Maybe the perfect universal statement on cults is,
my beliefs are real and legit. Those other assholes, they're in a fucking cult.
Atheists love to paint religions as cults, and in fact, they all are. Same as atheism, which is also a cult, but they'll never cop to it. I have my own definition of a cult. Any gathering of, say, three or more people who declare they have a lofty purpose. Now, that's a cult. I've always wanted to establish my own cult. What stopped me was the price of entry. If you wanted to do one right, you needed a physical location where everyone could gather, that temple, that church. Mine would be in the higher altitudes of the Mojave Desert. Having traversed some of that desert, I can tell you that mine would not be the first. There's a fuck ton of them up there. And they're all bullshit. Why? Because they're all owned and operated by phonies. They prey upon the fragile and the damaged, the frightened and the lonely. They sell psychobabble and dogma, purloin from corporate god providers and other cults. They always have the same keywords in their names, huh? Realization, enlightenment, purification, love. There are so many varieties of cults. Sex cults, drug cults, religious cults, political cults, occult cults, UFO cults, business cults, video game cults, life coaching cults, car cults, celebrity worship cults, dietary cults, comet cults, death cults, Yahtzee cults, the Communist Party. Plenty of respected organizations are cults. The FBI is a cult. Freemasonry is a cult. Many corporations are cults, especially the ones that claim their business exists to do anything other than make money. Like the ones who tie their marketing to causes, greenwashing themselves for the environment, sustainably produced products, supporting whatever group or stylish political cause du jour. Well, that's to cajole smooth brains into buying whatever crap they're hawking. Just watch how fast they switch their pitches to suit whatever's trending. Remember how quickly they jumped on a fucking germ? The COVID campaigns, oh, those sprang up like mushrooms overnight. They were so eager to hop on the bandwagon, they didn't even make a pretense of originality. Every campaign was the same, from chain supermarkets to car manufacturers. They wanted to help. But they never said exactly how they were going to help, but they sure sounded sincere. Honda was one of the worst. But I don't recall them giving away any cars, or even selling them at a discount. The Kroger supermarkets haven't offered me any free food, even though I'm still hearing,
"We're all in this together,"
on their PA system. My kid bought some of this new soda. Boobly. I looked at the can to see what chemical ingredients Pepsi was using. First thing I saw was,
"We're here to help."
Help who? With what? Incidentally, when I was at the supermarket waiting at the deli counter with that bubbly crap in my shopping cart, some masked shopper informed me that Michael Bublé owns that brand. Amazing the intel you can pick up from informed strangers. Then he asked if I'd gotten my booster yet. Funny how that question has morphed from the vaccine to the booster. That didn't take long. And soon the question will be, which number booster? I wasn't aware that Michael Bublé had bought Pepsi. I wonder how many other $250 billion market cap conglomerates he owns. Is this the first time in history that a drug has become a cult? Some people get the jab and forget about it. They go about their lives. But for some, it absolutely is a cult. Like those with tattoos proclaiming Pfizer proud or J&J jabbed. They're obsessed about it. Can't wait for the next variant so they can line up for the next shot. Maybe it's a sexual kink. Who knows? What's the first thing big corporations do with new hires? Well, they put them through orientation. Here's how to do things our way. Wear this polo shirt with the company logo on it. And frequently for middle management, that orientation takes place at some off-site location, right? That's cult brainwashing 101. Isolate the recruits. Keep them away from the rudders in their lives, you know, those pesky friends and family. I always laughed at the companies I worked at that referred to themselves as the so-and-so family. I always wanted to jump up and ask, well, if now that I'm part of the family, should I need a loan or some blood or a kidney? Can I ask the CEO same as I'd ask my dad? But I wouldn't have been heard. Everyone else was too busy staring at the logo over their left nipple on their corporate polo shirt. Those yearly sales meetings are cult gatherings. All that team-building bullshit. Most police forces are cults. The military's a cult. Academia's a cult. Fanboys of endless consumer products are members of cults. But let's get back to my personal cult. My cult would be way up there among the Joshua trees and saguaro cactus. Way the fuck out there in that desert. 50, maybe 75 miles from anything resembling civilization. In the vast Mojave, that is very doable. No one would be admitted without an appointment, two referrals from trusted cult members, and a thorough background check. Because this cult will be kind of like this show, not inclusive. On the contrary, very exclusive. No commies, no punks, no Seth Meyer, John Oliver, or Colbert fans, no people who use the parting salutation,
be safe.
Vaxxed or unvaxxed, you're welcome. But if you got a vax tattoo, or you want to convince someone to get on your side, stay the fuck out. The compound will cover a minimum 500 acres. They will be surrounded by a split rail fence, which will also be stealthily electrified with enough current to discourage interlopers. There will be a big front gate like those Texas ranches. But instead of some typical ranchy name like Ponderosa or Silver Spur, my sign will say Rancho Lutfa, which regular listeners know means leave us the fuck alone. In my cult, not only is there no higher purpose, there is no purpose whatsoever other than to get away from the ASTCOs, which are assholes seeking to control others. Once a week, I might hold a gathering, and attendance would be completely optional. For those, I'll dress either like Waylon Jennings or a Franciscan monk, but regardless, behind me at all times will be three pointy priestesses in form-fitting hooded robes. Why must there be priestesses? What good is a cult without them? Of course, they must be pointy, but they must also have musical talent. Should I decide to perform, I want them on that stage with me. Same as any act worth seeing, there's always at least three hot women who can sing like angels but look like demons. The high priestess will be Daria Zaretskaya. If you're unfamiliar with her, I'll post a link to some of her videos on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. Why Daria? Well, after you see her, the question will be, why not? She's a Ukrainian vocalist with a band that does frighteningly good covers of everything from Led Zepp to Lady Gaga. And when you see her cover Black Dog or Whole Lotta Love, you'll never want to see Robert Plant again. Daria looks as if she could extract your spleen with her fingernails and stuff it in a waffle cone and make you watch as she consumed it. That's enough, Daria. My cult will heavily favor musicians, mechanics, car guys, gun nuts, and people who hate cults. The moment anybody exhibits any ASTCO behavior whatsoever, they'll be tossed out on their asses. It will probably only work for a week or two and then come unglued. After a while, everyone will get tired of me, and I realize the only company I truly enjoy and can put up with me is my family and Moose. Now that I think about it, Moose will probably be the catalyst that destroys the cult. Because other than my immediate family, Moose pretty much despises everyone and lets them know with extremely hostile behavior. Well, that is, everyone except attractive females. Which means my wife and daughters and Daria and her co-priestesses will be safe. But Moose will make everyone else miserable. And since Moose is part of the family, he comes first. Once the cult is disbanded, the meth heads and desert rats will soon occupy the compound. Maybe some documentarian will do a movie on it. Of course, I'll refuse to cooperate because nothing fuels a good cult story more than mystery. I have an entire suite of episodes devoted to various cults. Episode 33, Cult Busting. That's a tale of a guy I worked with who vanished into a cult never to be seen again. That's in the July 2017 tab. Charles Manson and Me. That's November 17. Manhaters and Death Cults, which features exclusive recordings from within the Heaven's Gate Suicide Mansion mere days before they shed their containers. Well, that's in the September 2018 tab. There's one on Tony Alamo, A Cult Above. That's in the July 2019 tab, and all of them are at thatlarryshow.com. If you get a charge out of cults, you gotta check them out. I recently stumbled on a Dateline about a cult I'd somehow missed, maybe because of the COVID cult. This one was called Love Has Won. That's fresh, isn't it? It was headed by some batshit crazy broad who abandoned her three children aged 2, 7, and 12 and headed for, where else? California, where she declared her new name was Mother God. Which part of that handle took more nerve, the mother or the God part? And she did what most modern cultists are doing. She set it all up on YouTube, flooding it with smiley videos about how she was God and was now over 19 billion years old and had been reincarnated 534 times as Jesus, Cleopatra, Joan of Arc, Marilyn Monroe, and many others. Ever notice that with the reincarnation crowd, they were never plumbers or waiters in their past lives? It was always someone very famous. Mother God managed to lure a few followers from YouTube who brought her money and worship. She was screwing a few of the guys and declared that they were co-gods until they dumped her. And of course she was selling vitamin supplements, doing live stream psychic surgeries for $88 a pop. They also retailed a proven COVID-19 cure, colloidal silver. I never heard of that one. It's a silver metal particle suspended in liquid. And over time, heavy use will make your face turn blue and kill you. Things got a little dicey in California, so she moved the operation to rural Colorado and picked up a few more stooges there. At her peak, she lived with about 20 followers, and all of them threw money at her. She also claimed that many dead celebrities were part of her group, most notably Robin Williams, that he would visit all the time, sit in for dinner, campfires, marshmallows. In one of her videos, she got all bent out of shape and scolded Robin for not hanging around as much as she wanted. Like all cults and cult leaders, she had a promise, a reveal, because cults must dangle some reward or revelation to keep cult members hanging on. And hers was similar to most. It was the big ascension into the fifth dimension, or 5D, as she called it. Once she started guzzling her own liquid silver, her health deteriorated quickly, and her face was quite blue in some of those videos. Eventually, finally, she did ascend, but her blue-skinned body stayed behind. And her followers just left her in bed until she looked like a big blue raisin. Guess they really loved Mother God. In full disclosure, I am a member already of two cults. First, my family, with which I am blessed and unapologetically obsessed. And I'm a Christian, or I try to be. And for me, there are only two members of that cult, JC and me. I cut out all the middlemen, you know, those corporate God providers, cut them out years ago. One of the saddest parts about the show, about Mother God, was when her eldest son described her before she abandoned him. He used a very telling word that's as much a part of malevolent cult leaders as the dangling promise. He said she was chaotic. Chaotic people are best avoided. They create chaos as a distraction to conceal their fuck-ups, their lies, their deceptive agendas, and their basic evil. The chaos method has been used with great success by every historical scumbag one could name. Creating chaos helped Hitler take and maintain power. Same for Stalin, Mao. And the bullshit they promised, oh, workers unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains. Wonder how many million Russians who died of starvation and gulags regretted buying into that line of shit. Now we have tremendous chaos in the United States with a leader, finger quotes, who foments chaos as much as possible. Or maybe his handlers do, because even before Joey was afflicted with dementia, I'm talking 30, 40, 50 years back when he still had his faculties, those faculties were minimal. He was never a bright guy. Which is why he constantly lied. Lied about scholarships he didn't win, lied about grades he never achieved, degrees he didn't earn. He lacked the intellectual firepower to write a fucking speech. So, he just stole other people's. But what really underscored his stupidity was, he stole speeches that were famous, well-known. And he was soon disgraced as a plagiarist. How smart was that? But voters have short memories. And now adding Alzheimer's to low intellect, well, that's a recipe for disaster. And the catastrophic results are crystal clear. Only 11 months into his regime, and he's racked up over 366,000 COVID deaths. Well, in a few months, at that rate, he's going to surpass the body count he blamed on his predecessor. And Joey said he had a plan. Though he never said what it was, did he? No, he didn't. Inflation is skyrocketing, so is unemployment. Airlines are scrubbing thousands and thousands of flights due to Joey's mandates. Small businesses continue to fold. Crime is through the roof. And Joey's brain is so decayed, he actually thinks he thinks. He just said, this Thanksgiving will be better than last Thanksgiving. Just listen to this fresh gibberish from President Decency.
For example, one of the reasons why I decided to talk about the need to deal with the operation and the gouging that occurs in some of the pricing of beef and chicken and other things is that that's why I think that's why I indicated to you we're going to look at whether or not there's a violation of antitrust laws and what they're doing. So there's a lot to look at, but the bottom line is that I think and anyone who would prefer, as bad as things are in terms of prices helping hurting families now, trade this Thanksgiving for last Thanksgiving.
Of course, Joey's Thanksgiving inference is about the virus, but if you check the numbers for, say, California, a state that has been in lockstep with Joey's mandates, well, the numbers tell a very different story. COVID cases in November 2020 were 950,000. Right now, early November 2021, 4,800,000. So while Joey may have forgotten how to dress himself or climb a flight of stairs or form a coherent sentence, he remembers how to lie. And it appears so do most people, because as cults prove, from one crazy kook who called herself Mother God to millions of Joey's fanboys, many people would rather be dead than wrong. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, visit the show page at thatlarryshow.com. There you will find hundreds more episodes. If you really like what you heard, Click the Patreon or PayPal buttons while there and join the Take No Shit Dojo, which helps me keep this show going. There's also a P.O. box if you prefer U.S. mail. If you want to write, it's thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Now, I get a lot of email, so if I don't answer promptly, hang loose. I always do, eventually. Follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and No Agenda Social. There are links for those at thatlarryshow.com. My friends, never trust anybody who creates chaos or who tells you they're a nice guy. They never are. On the contrary, they're usually mendacious pricks. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.